And welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. With you is your host, Garth Nelson, and our hostess,
Jen Barr.
How's it going, Jen?
Good.
I just usually like to say what's been going on, and I have been playing Mahjong.
Really?
Have you played any Mahjong lately?
Not a lot.
I have gotten to play, like, zero Mahjong. I did play Fight Club, like, one day last week, and then, man, somehow I've just had something else to do every day. It's disappointing to not play any Mahjong.
Oh, but you played Ron Ron on Saturday, right? Or on Friday.
I did, yes.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
I did play Ron Ron and probably not do very well in comparison to other pros. you just got back from a trip to Macau.
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. Exciting.
It was exciting. It was definitely. Yeah, I had a really good trip.
Yes, looking forward to maybe tagging along with you on one of those trips coming up.
Yeah.
Could be fun. Sounds like everybody else is having fun out there.
Yep. So I just covered the Macau Poker Cup Championship at Poker Stars Macau. And lots and lots of Japanese people did really good.
There's a growing number of Japanese people attending those events these days, yeah?
Yeah, well, the MPCs, the Macau Poker Cups, the Red Dragon event, I think the maximum that there's been Japanese players is like 90 in one event, which is amazing since it's usually around 300 players or so.
Yeah, it is
maybe
a pretty good percentage,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then this time I think there were close to 40. Players from Japan.
Well, yeah, it's not just like the old JPL crowd. Like, it has really grown since then.
Yeah, there's groups from Osaka, groups from Tokyo, everywhere you can think of.
And whose Okage do you think that is?
Yours?
I was going to take zero credit for that myself. I was going to hand it off to anybody else in the room.
Oh, me?
I'm sure you have something to do with it.
I don't know. I write the Poker Stars blog, but that's about all I've done for the past couple of years. But from now on, I'm going to do a lot more since we have the New Japan Poker Tour. So
yes.
It's really fun.
It would be nice to jump in and partake in a little bit of that too, huh?
Should.
Yes.
You're so busy with Mahjong, except for this week, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, alright, so I guess I'm not totally unbusy with Mahjong, it's just that I haven't gotten to play any Mahjong.
Ah.
So yesterday I did my interview with Seto Kuma.
Yeah.
So I'm going to write that up, and I have to,
how did that go? I was really interested in
the interview?
Yeah.
You know, Seto Kuma, we've hung out with him a fair amount. He is so easygoing, just so easy to talk to.
Yeah.
Such a great guy. Like, you couldn't want a different guy to win everything. Like, you go into the tournament, and like, we were rooting for
Moriyama
just because he is our, you know, he's our mentor, and we do find his play exciting and fun. But you know, for Seto Kuma to win is just like all, yep. Yeah, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy, and he's just so good, too. But yeah, so we were talking, and then I guess I can say this here because, you know, most of the Japanese are not listening.
Yeah. Well, but I was going to say, tell us some stuff because, yeah, you're going to write it in Japanese, right?
Right?
So
I thought that there were basically two stories to... excuse me. Two stories to the 10 Steps tournament finals. First, of course, obviously, is the way everybody played, and you know, in this situation, you did this. Why did you do that, or whatever? So that's, you know, and that's, you know, in any interview, that's going to be typically what you talk about. But this was the first time that a final table had been broadcast at all. I think any of the JPML final table events. There have been other finals broadcast, but that was like Tenku Mahjong and like things having to do with Mondo.
Yeah.
This was just, you know, JPML's tournament, and it was the first time one of the finals had been televised, and it was, I don't know if Kojima has done other live events too, but just the commentating was, I mean, they were very honest. They were brutally honest.
Yeah, we did talk about that last week.
Okay. And I think, you know, you do want the commentators to be honest, but there is a level at to which you want them to go to. And I did bring that up, and he said, yeah, so we can talk about it, but we can't use any of it for the interview. But he does, you know, agree. Like, obviously the point of having these things televised is that we want to grow the Mahjong community.
Right.
And if the end result of your commentating is to make people feel like, my Mahjong sucks, I can't play with these guys, mm-hmm. I'm going to quit, that's definitely not the not what you're shooting for, right?
Right.
We did talk a little bit about that, but of course that won't make it into the interview. At least what gets put on Renmei. But it was also interesting to hear him talk about one of the things that when I went over the game and you know the way he played in certain situations, the places that he reaches and the places that he doesn't reach are kind of a mystery to me. And I guess it has more to do with the fact, in most of the situations that I couldn't understand why he did reach, and he did, I sort of understood in the beginning because it was his turn as dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, people will make a slightly looser reaches in that situation to protect their turn as dealer.
Right.
It often helps get people to give up hands that, you know, if the dealer didn't reach, then they would just keep going for it, and eventually they would have a big hand. So most of the situations that he made reaches that I thought were strange were in that situation. But there were a bunch of situations where he had kind of a weak hand, his hand was ready, and he did not reach. But he wasn't giving up the hand either. He wasn't folding, mm-hmm. but he wouldn't give up. And I found it really strange that he would continue to get to go for it in those situations without making his hand more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did talk a lot about that. And so a lot of the situations where there were some questionable spots where he could change to different kinds of hands. And then there were times that he's just like, yeah, you know, I didn't want to give the guy 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
And still, like, on the one hand, I'm thinking, well, you know, if you don't want to give him 1,000 points, why are you playing so that you might give him even more points by going for it, right?
Yeah, for whatever his hand had, yeah.
But, you know, and he also said, you know, like, so if I get to some point where I really feel like, you know, I have to throw this tile away, but I really feel like this is what that guy is waiting for, then I can still give up. And I said, really? But look at this situation here. I mean, like, there's no reason for you to have thought that this tile was safe, and you still just threw it out there. And he's like, oh, well, yeah. So, it goes to show that even at that level, there are times when a player can't, you know, can't compute everything.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that he has reasons that he can't explain that just come from experience of playing.
Right. Like, feeling... your feeling about something is definitely important too, and there's no way you can explain to somebody, well, I had this feeling.
Yeah.
Where did you get that feeling? Well, from about 10 years of playing, I guess. You want me to go through every game that I got that led me having that feeling? Yeah.
Yeah, so. And it's based on, you know, real experience. Like, there's definitely a real basis there.
Yes. So there were a lot of things that he could explain, and then there were a couple places where he's like, oh yeah, I just felt like this, so I went for it. It was a very interesting talk with Seto Kuma, and you know, about not just about the final table, but about a lot of different, you know, about like the commentating and just Mahjong in general. Speaking of Seto Kuma, I did meet him again on I met him first on Sunday after work. I happened to be in Shimbashi where they had the Pro Queen finals.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations to Wakutsu. Do you know her first name? Her normal name?
I know that can be read as Akira, but I don't know if that's her name or not.
It looks like three boxes to me.
It means crystal. Like, that would be a good English name for her. Let's call her Crystal.
Crystal Wakutsu. Because it's much better than three boxes Wakutsu. but congratulations to her. She did win Pro Queen this year. Coming up behind her was Tsui Kumiko, who plays in Fukuoka, but I guess does not play in normal league.
Mm-hmm.
And something I thought was interesting about at the finals, actually I didn't quite make it to the finals, I just finished work right as the finals ended, called Setsuko, and he's like, oh yeah, why don't you come for the Uchiha game? It's like the after party. So, like, I show up, and everybody's like, oh, Garth just shows up for the drinking, but doesn't come to see the game. And I was like, well, I just finished work. Come on, give me a break. and then it was funny because he hadn't come yet.
Well, I don't think that's the first time you've done that, that's why.
And it's not entirely false, either, in this situation. But it's true. I did just happen to be in Shinbashi. So I called him up, and they're like, oh, yeah, come on over. And then he got there after everybody had all gotten there, and he's like, okay, let's do the interview over here. And then everybody's like, what? You came to do the interview now? And I was like, no, I didn't, actually. I really did just come to drink. But he seemed to want to talk, even though I insisted that I had not brought any of this stuff to do the interview. And then while we were talking, what's her name? Saki... Kurosawa came over and she asked him if she could sit down and talk, and I was interested. They, like, you know, there was a little procession, not a big procession. She and Tsui eventually came over also to ask him what they thought of their play.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously it is Setsukuma, and he's at the top of our league right now. But I think that is really important, and that's something I wanted to talk about later, was talking to people about how you played.
Yeah.
And I wish, like, when Saki first came up, she asked in such a hesitant way. It felt like she wanted to ask him something, like, really in private. So I was like, oh, okay, I can get up and go. Because first she said, can I talk to you? And then she was like, oh, wait, are you guys busy? Are you talking? So then as I was getting up to leave, Sitkum was like, no, we're not busy. You have no problem. So then I was a little embarrassed about listening in because I thought she was going to say something. So I really made my best effort not to listen to what he said about her play there.
Aww.
Which after a while I was like, God, I should have been stealing notes. But I was paying attention when Tsui came and sat down. And it was funny. Like Kurosawa's play, like it was mostly, the few things that I did pick up on him telling her was that when she played this way in a certain situation, it was a little strange because that's not the way she usually plays.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's no, it's not a mistake to mix it up, but if it's something you're not used to and you know it's not usually the way you play, like why did you play it that way in that situation?
Yeah, and I mean she's won titles. Before. She's won this title before, I believe. She's
really?
Won both of them, yeah.
Huh. So, yeah, I mean, she is an extremely strong player. And
maybe that's why she was at the final table this time. Was she last year's winner?
I don't think so. Last year's winner, I think, was Ishii Aya, perhaps, from Saikoui-sen.
Okay.
Of course, she was there defending her title this year, too, but and I'm not sure what place she ended up finishing. But when Tsui came over, he mentioned, the first thing he said was there was a situation where she had two Dora, and she was and she also had Simples and Peace in the hand, except that she was one away from ready. I think she was waiting for, she had the 3 and 4 of dots, so she's waiting for 2 5 of dots, and she had the 2 and 4 of cracks, so she's waiting for the 3 of cracks there.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Dora somewhere else. And so then somebody threw the 2 or 5 of dots. I think it was the 5 of dots. And it may have been like the second or third of that, of all of those tiles to come out, which she chied to be waiting for, you know, for Kansanmon, the unopened or the closed weight of 3,
yeah,
three
the
of
gut
cracks.
Shot, yeah.
The gut shot with 2 Dora. And he said, come on. It was like fourth or fifth drawing round.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, come on, nobody would make that play. That is a totally unacceptable play. It was her turn as dealer, and it is true that as dealer you want to preserve your turn as dealer. You want to get to a winnable situation as fast as possible. But it's such a much bigger hand if she plays it bigger, right?
Yeah.
Like, that could be 6,000 points from each player. And the instant she does that, it's probably the most it can be is 5,800, or perhaps 2,000 from each player. There's a possibility she could draw another Dora, and then she would be, then she'd have to change her weight to something else, and, you know, probably be waiting on a single tile weight there also. But and then it would be worth 12,000 points. But it's just not a very, it's not a strong play. It's a very, it's an extremely weak play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are situations where you could argue that it was the right, it would be a right play. If, for example, it was the end of the game and you only needed 3,000 points to win the game, and it was not those rules because you can't end as a winning dealer anyway. But obviously it was not that situation, and he said right off, like, yeah.
Oh, you know that these rules are the B rules, right?
Oh, that's right. But even B rules, you can't end. Can you do Kiriyage?
No, you can't do
Yame. Agariyame?
Agariyame. You cannot quit if you've won the hand as dealer.
As dealer, right. So, yeah, even in that, even though it was, that's true, even though it is our B rules, which means that there is first turn wins and hidden Doras.
Yep.
And con Doras. She still wouldn't have been able to quit. So there was really no excuse for playing the hand that way. You know, it's, play your hands big. Dream. Dare to dream. So yeah, that was Pro Queen. Way to go, Wakutsu Crystal, we're going with.
I actually saw an extremely, maybe the best female Mahjong player. Besides Aki, I think. I'm not sure.
Let me see if I can guess who this is. That must be...
I don't think you know her.
Oh, really?
Well, you've met her. But You've met her, but I doubt you remember it.
Huh. Oh, is it somebody from the World Series of Mahjong?
Nope.
Huh. Somebody in our group?
Nope.
Oh. Somebody from another pro
She's
association?
From Kyokai.
Uh-huh.
So the Nihon Pro Mahjong Association.
Uh-huh.
And her name is Yukina. Crap. Her name is...
Yukina, crap.
Masaki. Masaki. Sorry. Yukina Masaki.
Huh, she has
and we
two
call
first
her Yuki.
Names.
Yeah, it sounds like a first name. But, we call her Yuki.
Uh-huh.
And we went out with her after there was a Mondo like audition tournament that Ikue and I played in.
Uh-huh.
The first year that we were in JPML.
Huh.
And then we went to Fridays afterwards, because it was in Roppongi.
Uh-huh.
And you came and met us at Fridays, and then we went to karaoke, and...
Really?
Yep.
Wow, I do not remember this person.
Yep, she was playing poker in Macau.
Really?
Yep, and we were on the same final table in the ladies' event, and she is also the winner of the women's event for the AJPC, the All Japan Poker Championship.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had no idea she was doing all this, so she wrote to me, she's like, I need more female poker friends, so let's hang out.
Wow.
So that was a kind of cool thing.
That's kind of cool. Not only that you made the final table of the women's event.
Oh, but I only paid till fifth place, and she got eighth place, and I got seventh.
Well, you beat who you consider to be the best woman mahjong player.
She's really good. I mean, she's won like lots of titles and stuff, and and she would have won that event except for she was like an hour late. She overslept.
Oh, really? Oops.
So she's kind of like Garthy.
Yes. And kind of like Nakata, who apparently did that last season or something. I think she missed. She had slept in for League Sen on one day.
Somebody was late at Women's League last week as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
I don't remember who was at that table, but whoever it was an hour late.
Huh.
That was when I was busy winning my way to A-League.
Well, speaking of those two girls who just did well in pro, or the one who won, Wakutsu, she moved up from the B-League, or... No, I think she's in the top...
She's in the playoffs,
she's
probably.
In the playoffs, yeah. And Tsutsui, that's who. So Tsutsui moved up. She was right behind you, I think.
Yeah, she did. Yep.
So you guys will both be playing together in the A-League of Women's Women's League next year.
I'm not sure if we played together this season or not.
Huh.
Because there's a lot of people, so you don't play with everybody, you know?
Huh. And it's true, and there are only five sessions, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, that about wraps it up for the wrap-up, unless you have other results. Do you know other results?
No, Hanover is this coming weekend.
Is Gemma playing in
yes.
Hanover? Good luck to Gemma, then.
Good luck to Gemma.
See if you can add to your growing list of titles.
Yeah, seriously. Like you need to win anymore.
Yeah. Tell us how to do it, for the love of God. And so let's see, I wanted to talk a little bit about strategy. Not so much about strategy, but just, you know, getting better in Mahjong. And going back to what I was saying about players coming up to Setukuma to talk to him about what he thought of their play. And I think that is extremely important, to talk to other players about your play, talk to other players about how they play, and get other people's insights. And it helps to talk about specific plays. You know, I mean, you can create situations. You can say, well, let's see, like, if I had a hand like this and this and this and this, it's very different from real, actual live situations that you had where, you know, you had to make a decision and you went with this decision, and then afterwards you look at it and you're like, oh, huh, maybe that was wrong. Maybe I should have done something else. And other people.
That's
that
pretty much what I think after every decision I make.
Yes, and, you know, I have a lot of those situations, too, and when it's a real situation, and you had to decide something, and you went in a weird direction, it really helps to have somebody point out later, like, well, this is why this was weird, this is, you know, maybe you were thinking this, but in this situation, I would do this, and also other things that Setukuma pointed out to Saki, like, you know, this is not the way you would normally play, why did you play like this, like, it's not like playing this way is necessarily wrong, it's just not your style of play, and why did you think in this situation you would do that? And when you do that, it forces you to actually think out why you made some decision in some place. Mm-hmm. And like Setukuma said, like, there are times when, you know, you just make some decision because it feels right and you can't really talk it out. But when you make a mistake, and you know, there really is no sort of way that you can justify it, then you know, you're really forced to confront it there, and it really helps you. If you can come up with a reason for it, then it really helps you crystallize your way of thinking.
Did you just say that because we're calling that girl Crystal?
No, I had actually written down crystallization.
Wow,
over
that's
here.
Cool.
That is, yes, funny.
Because I also found out that her name might be Hikaru, Hikari, or Sayaka, or Sho, or
wow.
Akira.
How could the
or
names,
Aki.
How could there be such a totally random?
Oh, there's way more names. That just that character could be Akitsugu, Akinori, Katsuaki, Katsuo, Katsushige, Katsusuke, but those are all boys' names, so I'm assuming she has a girl's name.
Wow. That is absolutely crazy.
It could also be Shodo, just with that one character.
That is absolutely crazy. And it really is just three boxes, right?
Yep. Well, it's like three suns.
Three
yeah.
suns. Huh, that is kind of like a crystal, huh? Lots
yep.
of suns.
Yep, the meaning is certainly crystal, but it can be read many different ways as far as names go.
Speaking of crystal, I think it makes you it forces you to make your own ideas crystal clear in your head.
Right.
and you know, if you have been thinking that something that thinking in a way that was sort of off, then you really have to confront it, and you're like, oh wow, I was thinking this. That is kind of stupid, or that is kind of just weird, maybe in this situation.
Yeah.
And I was also wondering. And also when you do that, then you're also forcing other players to crystallize their ideas, and perhaps they hadn't gone through that mental exercise either, you know. So on that note, I was wondering who, you know, for me, actually, I get a lot of my playing discussion from you. You really, I mean, like, there's so many times I have to say, like, I thought, like, I made a decision in this place that was like, you know, this is right. And then you say, actually, yes, you spit at me like that. No, you, like, you say, gosh, you know, that I don't understand why you thought that was right. I wouldn't do that in that situation. Then it really makes me think, oh, yeah, actually, maybe that there was a different way to play that.
That's
like,
funny, because a lot of times when I say, when I think I did something right, and then I ask you about it. Then it's the same way.
Not really.
I think we have a good example of that on the forums, where I was completely different from everybody else on the forums. And usually I find that is a good thing, because if I'm playing different than everybody, then I guess there's like a lot of things that are supposed to be obvious, but I think there's something to be said about playing against the tide.
Yes.
So, yeah.
it can help in some situations. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, are there other players that you tend to talk to get ideas about how you're playing?
Well, mostly I ask, like, you and Ikue. I used to ask Konno a lot. And Konno always said that my play was really good. My problem was concentration. Because I would make silly mistakes that I was just like, I don't know why I did that. That was dumb.
And afterwards you look at, I can't really figure out a reason that I did that at all.
Yeah, it was probably because I was, like, playing with the dog or or reading an email or something, you know, silly. So.
Konno, yes, he does. If there is one person that's going to give you a very correct way to have played, it would be Konno.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he's a teacher, too, so he's really good at explaining things.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
I mean, he's a Mahjong teacher by profession, after Mahjong Pro, so.
Absolutely, yeah, there's an idea I should talk to him more.
I do talk to Ikue a lot. I wish I had more time. I'd definitely go over
to Sparta.
I'd go to Sparta. I'd go to the study sessions, but also I'd look at hand histories on Ronron. Because all the pros' hand histories are on there for free.
Such a huge tool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, not
I mean,
for
your,
free.
Your monthly subscription. Right. It's included in your monthly subscription.
Right. So, I think you did used to have to pay extra for those.
No.
Like, no?
If you paid for the subscription, then you
okay.
If you had a free subscription, you couldn't access it.
Okay. Yeah, they're right there. That's part of your Ronron subscription now. Or, I guess it always was. and, yeah, that is such a huge tool. Last week I spent the week going all over the 10 steps final tournament, and there's a lot of good information there, and some of the best players in the world playing, or at least one of the top players in our league.
Yeah.
You get to see exactly what he did the whole time, and it's really a lot of insight for nearly free. All right. Well, there's a little idea for you guys to think about on how to improve your play. Talk to some other players and find out what they think of the way you are playing.
Yeah, and you can always ask questions on the forums as well.
Oh, yeah.
And people have emailed me questions after listening to the podcast. Toby, thank you. I got back to you about a week late, but thank you very much for your email. And anybody else who wants to ask us questions, we're happy to answer. Absolutely. If you have a hand in, like, how should I play this? Go ahead and post it on the forums, or send it to us. We'll put it as a "What would you discard" on the website.
Yes, gotta get back on those forums. Now that I have this neato computer here. All right, so let's start wrapping it up. Upcoming events. So there's the event in Hanover.
Yep.
That's the German. Is that the
it
European?
Should be starting in like 3 days or something.
That's the European Open, or is that just a German?
No, it's
Open,
Hanover event.
Very good.
You'd think I should have more details about that.
There is an interesting event coming up in November 18th through the 20th. There is a convention called Collision Con, all spelled with K's. And at the tournament, they will be having a Japanese-style Mahjong tournament called...
It's only two K's, right?
Two K's, yes.
Okay,
but the next K is in Mahjong Combat. The tournament is called Mahjong Combat. It'll only be running the first 2 days of the convention, but they will be playing Japanese Mahjong, and there will be prizes from ReachMahjong.com.
Yep, I will send those off next week.
So it will be advertised on the website if you can't quite figure out where it is just from listening to us. And good luck to anybody who can make it out to near Chicago for when that event is November 18th through 20th. And let's see, other events going on. What is there? And poker stuff?
Well, the JPT series is running right now for the APPT prizes. And the final will be on the 29th and 30th of October. So if you're in Japan, you're going to play in one of those live events and win yourself an entry into the final.
Yeah, and there are even events online, too, that are that start off for totally free.
Yep. So. Only if your address is Japan, though. So.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you do.
Yeah. So look at Japan Poker Tour website, japanpokertour.jp, for that information.
All right, sounds good. Some cool stuff coming up. And I guess that about wraps it up. Yes, if you do want to get in touch with us in about anything that we've talked about, or if you have your own ideas, I am Garth E, G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com.
And I'm Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
Thanks, as always.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
My Twitter is mahjongjen with one N. Garth's Twitter is Garthy with three E's.
E's, yes.
We have the Reach Mahjong Twitter, which is just Reach Mahjong.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And,
yeah.
Yes, other
that's
things,
better.
Yes. If you want to play against us, we are often on Run and Mahjong Fight Club.
Yep. And you can play our video, our pachinko game if you're in Japan as
oh,
well.
Oh, yes, and you can find it.
And my slot machine game.
Oh, yes, yes. There are lots of ways to see us. Excuse me. All right. Thank you for listening in, and we hope to see you next week.
See ya.